Thank you to our worship team, Cassie and Hattie and Tony and David. Last week, we kind of embarked upon a new little mini-series that we're doing called Being Generous Toward God. For those of you who may have showed up today for the first time, it's been 2 years since I've spoken to the church specifically about giving and this type of generosity toward God. I know sometimes people think that's all churches talk about, and we did say last week God talks about it a lot, and so we want to be sure to talk about what he emphasizes in Scripture, and so we started this little series, again called Being Generous Toward God. And while there are a lot of different ways, many different ways that we can be generous toward God, for example, not just with our resources, but with things like our time, right? Can be generous toward God with our time. There are different ways we can be generous toward God. Just want to say that my focus last week and today and next week is intended to be on how we can be good, generous, faithful stewards of what God has given to us, the resources that he's given to us, the paycheck that he's given to us, the things that he entrusts to us while we're here on this earth. And I suggest that while money, last week I said this, it doesn't talk with a literal voice, right? It doesn't speak in that sense. It really does talk in this way. What you and I do with our money tells a story. It tells a story about us. It speaks of what's truly important to us, or what we tend to value a lot. We learn that if we're ever going to be truly generous toward God with what God has given to us, with our money and our resources, we need to be able to think biblically about them, biblically about ourselves, and biblically about God. And I asked you to consider something, to honestly consider this question. When it comes to giving toward God and his work, do you view it more as trying to convince yourself to part with your money, or do you see it as investing God's money? Something really important to think about it. Do I think about it as, am I going to cut loose with what's mine, or am I going to invest in what belongs to God? We took a look at the scriptures together last week, and we identified what I would just say were some overarching principles that are biblical, and they are foundational for any of us who desire to understand how to be good stewards of our money and our resources the way that God has called us to. And so I want to just share them with you again now and allow you to look at them again in case you missed them last week. Not going to go into them in detail, but here's what we saw last week. When we open God's word and we reflect on all that it has to say about this topic, there's a few things we need to know. First one was this, that everything that we have comes from God. I think I even heard you just say that as you prayed a moment ago, Cassie, because it's true. Everything that we have comes from God. Second, God owns everything. God owns everything. And we looked at a number of passages in Scripture that told us that last week. So I think even the fact that we say this is mine is in some sense an illusion, unless we really understand this is what God has entrusted to me. It comes from him. It's ultimately his. Third thing that we saw is that sometimes when we talk about stewardship, finances, giving, money, resources, it's easy to feel like things are out of control, but we should find comfort in knowing that God is in control of everything. God is in control of everything. And finally, God provides everything. When we think about this subject and we go, how am I possibly going to be generous toward God? I'm barely making it by, or barely making it here in the Silicon Valley. A reminder to us that God has promised to provide everything that we need. And he'll do that. We've got to keep those four things in mind if we ever want to have the type of biblical view towards money, giving, and stewardship that God wants us to have. And again, I want to say these are general principles to guide how we think about this topic of stewardship or giving. But they don't exactly answer specific questions or some of the specific questions that you and I might have about this subject. For example, I'm going to say this, that by God's design, you and I can't open our Bibles and turn to a specific chapter and verse that when properly understood in its entire context of all of what Scripture says about this, that reveals exact percentages that we're required to give, precise dollar amounts, or a particular designated fund word to donate toward. The Bible gives us principles about how we're to give. But as we continue to search the Word of God together today, we'll discover He has given us plenty that is very helpful. And I've tried to summarize that in this statement. And I know that I've shared it with you before, but I think this gets at the heart of what God would have us know about this subject. So here it is. God in His Word calls you to make giving to Him and His work a what? A priority. And to do so in a manner that is proportionate to your ability, yet also generous, sacrificial, and voluntary. Today and next week, I'm going to continue to just kind of build around this little statement that I shared with you now. God in His Word calls you to make giving to Him and His work a priority, and to do so in a manner that's proportionate to your ability, yet also generous, sacrificial, and voluntary. Now, I consider this statement to be one that offers sound, guiding principles that everyone in this room should take into account when they invest in God, in His work. And when you talk about giving, I've been around the church long enough to know this. Me not specifically using the word tithe or tithing right now, as I talk about how God speaks to us about giving, terrifies some people and it makes other people happy. But this is one of those times I want to invite you to stay with me throughout all of the messages to completely hear what I'm saying and the picture that I'm trying to give before you respond to it. And before I do that, I want to acknowledge something. I want to say this. There are godly, Bible-believing Christians who understand what the Bible teaches about giving, especially as it relates to tithing, differently than what I will be sharing with you today. You may have heard it that way in the past or in another place. You may be familiar or have heard what I'm going to be sharing with you today about it. But when we speak about tithing, it's quite literally 10% of your money is what we're referring to being given in what we call a tithe. But I want to make a few observations about this. I want to say this, that you won't find in the New Testament a command to tithe. Okay, won't find a New Testament verse where we are commanded to tithe. These are just general statements as we try to get the big picture here. However, what you're going to see repeatedly is this, that all of us are commanded and even required to give in a couple of different ways. Watch this. We're required in passages like Romans 13, 1 through 7, Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22, to pay, guess what? Taxes. When we search the Scriptures carefully, We see there are really two types of giving that are often talked about. The first is the giving we do to the government. That's optional, right? Oh, no, wait, that's not optional, which is always obligatory or required by the law, right? Romans 13, 1 through 7. You might remember the words of Jesus himself who said in the Gospels, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," right? We're all familiar with taxes. Having little ones in the house, it's fun to watch them get up to the cash register, have figured out how much it's going to cost, and then go, oh, wait, there's tax. Our mailbox is down near the street at our house, and just earlier this week, 2 or 3 days ago, Emma goes down, we've got the little key, she puts the key in, she and Madeline are grabbing all the mail, she's looking at some of the stuff, and she goes, "Dad, I've got tax information." Huge smile, and I'm going, yeah, I bet, there's lots of tax stuff. That's one of the ways that we see giving talked about in Scripture. It is obligatory, or it's required by law for us to pay taxes. And boy, we can get together and pray for each other about that sometime too. If you are blessed to be able to own a home here in this area, or all different kinds of taxes. But second, and the one that we're more focused on now, is our giving to God. Which I would say this, is it's required. Why is it required? Because it's an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience, but it's clearly not to be done out of obligation. At least obligation alone. In fact, when it comes to tithing, when we're talking about this principle of 10% of our income, were you aware that the tithes spoken of in the Old Testament were largely taxes? They were largely taxes given to fund the nation of Israel's budget, not simply gifts to God. See, within the nation of Israel, there was something called the priesthood. And the priesthood actually functioned as the civil government of the nation. So a tithe was paid to the Levites, in addition to a second yearly tithe needed to fund the nation's festivals, as well as smaller taxes that were required by the law. So if you were to do the math, here's what you'd find out. The nation of Israel wasn't merely required to give 10%, but what they were actually giving amounted to well over 20% of their income. Later in the New Testament, we discover this, that God is most interested in giving us helpful guidelines to enable generosity toward Him. And He's called us to put those into practice. I'd encourage you to go home this week and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. See all that God has to say about it. And I want to give you just a little snip of that. This is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 7, where the Apostle Paul says, "The point is this." Now here's a great principle to hear. "Whoever sows sparingly will also" what? "Reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves" what? "A cheerful giver." So the Bible presents giving to God and the work He accomplishes through His church as an investment that will yield a harvest. What type of harvest will it yield? the type of harvest that's directly corresponds to how you invested. I think about it this way. We're blessed to have a number of fruit trees where we live. And if you know a little bit of the story, there was a lady who lived there 65 years before we lived there, and the home had kind of gotten away from her and the place. And some of those trees, I don't know if they've ever been pruned. Some are the size of half of this worship area, almost just overgrown and crazy. Some of them are dead, you know, and you can go out and find little plums on them that look more like the size of grapes because they've never been taken care of. But if you get in there and you actually prune some of these things, and this year we tried doing it with four trees because that's about all we could try right now. So two apricot trees, two almond trees. Got someone who knew what they were doing to help us this year, doing some things that, guess what, in the end are going to produce a better what? Harvest, right? Better crop. And what we get out of that will say something about what we put into it, right? If you put into it nothing, you get dead trees at the end that aren't producing fruit. If you care for and you put it in and you are intentional about how you invest, it will reap a harvest that corresponds to your investment. Are you getting where I'm going with that? Brothers and sisters, when it comes to giving, do you view the offering plate being passed each week as an attempt to get you to part with your money or an opportunity to invest in God's work with what he's given to you? Remember that God has told us we will reap what we sow. Very general principle, but so true. If you reap sparingly, you can expect to what? I said it wrong. Sow sparingly, you can expect to reap sparingly. Whereas if you sow bountifully, you'll also reap bountifully. I want to be careful here because so many pastors and so-called shepherds, preachers, and teachers have really abused this stuff. And I want to just tell you, God's got ways of blessing, taking care of you, and meeting all your needs that I can't fully explain. And this is his promise to you. This is what I want to say. Can't guarantee that always equals a financial amount of money that, you know, that comes back or whatever. Can't say how all that's going to work, but I can guarantee you he's going to meet your needs. He's given us this promise and he's told us to sow bountifully and that we'll reap bountifully. Not only does he want us to invest generously in what he's doing, but he wants us to do it in a manner that's also proportionate to our ability, yet sacrificial and voluntary. I'm going to continue to unfold this. Are you aware that giving like God's called us to give is going to stretch us? Going to stretch us a little bit. When you really grasp the heart of the type of generosity that God has called us to have toward him, you'd realize that just possibly cutting a quick check for a certain percent of your income each week or month would probably be a lot easier at times, or possibly be a lot easier than to think about what it truly means to sacrifice and be generous toward God, depending upon how you give. Let's just take, because we've talked about it, that idea of 10%, for example. Is giving, I want to ask you this, go ahead and tell me, is giving 10% of your income to the Lord equal to investing generously in God and his work? What do you think? I would say maybe it is, maybe it's not. For some of us, it would be. For some of us, it would not be. That's why I think we want to be careful with. I think we like it when everything's kind of black and white, or we just follow a specific thing and we can say, hey, yeah, we're abiding by that. But God wants to know if we're really being generous to him. That's what matters to our God. I got to experience something really neat just like 2 weeks ago. I got to sit in and be a part of like all day. This huge conference that was over at the San Jose Convention Center, and the entire huge place was filled with tables. It's called the State of the Valley is the name of it. And as I heard them talk about the Silicon Valley, here's something I learned on that day. There are 126,000 millionaires in the Silicon Valley. 126,000 millionaires in the Silicon Valley. Now if that made you go, wow, are you kidding? Let me just say this. That is not including that money is wrapped up in a home that they own. That is defined by saying that they have $1 million or more in disposable assets. So not just that they're over their head in a property that in this area is crazy and worth $1 million or more, but they have $1 million or more in disposable assets. 126,000 people in the Silicon Valley. And so I want to ask you this. Would someone with that amount of money be generous toward God if they were giving 10%? Maybe, but it's also very possibly that maybe not, right? If the measure is generosity toward God, we can't always just stick a percentage on it. Hopefully you can see how identifying a single designated percent of our income could never accurately measure generosity toward God. So maybe you're thinking, so Pastor Ron, are you encouraging people not to tithe? And I'd say, no, I'm not. I'm encouraging them to be generous toward God and to consider, to really consider whether or not offering a tithe or a literal 10% of their income is being generous toward God. In fact, if we could somehow catch a glimpse of what's happening financially in many churches today, we'd see that God is accomplishing much of what he's doing throughout the world via the faithful giving of his people, many of whom are tithing, giving no less than 10% of their income to the Lord and his work. And you know what I would say? Praise God for that. Thank you to all of you faithful people who say, I'm going to be committed to it. It starts here at 10%. Don't leave here today thinking I'm somehow downplaying that or not appreciating those who are doing that. What I'm challenging everyone to consider is, not am I giving a certain percentage, but am I being generous toward God? Is what I'm giving truly sacrificial? Here's where it gets interesting, but I want you to hear me out. While I'm not personally persuaded the Bible puts forth tithing as a straightforward 10% model that universally measures every person's generosity, for the past 20 plus years of my life, the first check that comes out of my family's account at the beginning of each month has been a check for 10% of our income. Usually mailed electronically, set up online, right to the church. So I want to just say this, not like I should have to, but every week when you see me up here and you don't necessarily see me reach in and put something, mine's here during the week coming in the mail. Just know that. It's a priority to us. And I don't know how many years it's been that we decided we wanted to do it that way. Send it to God and his work before somebody else gets it. And we all know everything else is competing for for our money, is it not? Why would you start with 10%, or why would you do that? Honestly, for me and Kimberly, we would say something like this. Personally, we would say if we can envision a dollar being made up of 10 dimes, I would have a hard time for me. And this doesn't mean it wouldn't be the case, that has to be the same for everyone, but be hard for me to say, giving God less than one dime for every 10 he gives me would be generous. That's my own personal conviction. Not trying to make that rules for everybody else. I'm just sharing my heart as I talk a little bit about it. So while we may not be able to look to Scripture and determine an exact percentage of our income that's required to be given, I'd encourage you to pray to determine what's truly generous. What is a real heartfelt act of worship that reflects my gratitude for what God has done for me? And then start giving it. It would have to begin with identifying what that actually is, right? What is it that I'm going to give? And then faithfully giving it to God. And if it helps you to set as a goal a certain percentage, like it's helped us, then set that. Just don't make the mistake of thinking some preset percentage automatically reflects generosity. It may or it may not. Are you sowing bountifully? Where do you start? How are you intentional about what you give? How do you make a priority or make giving to God a priority? I want to ask you this. Does the manner in which you give demonstrate that you actually believe what we've been teaching or what I've been sharing with you these past weeks, that all riches, everything comes from God. Everything belongs to God. God is in control of everything and God provides everything. Ran across an article this past week and the title was something like this: Why does my theology not always line up with my practice? This can be one of those areas in our life where we believe something to be true, but then go, man, when it comes down to what I do, I'm not showing that I believe that. Giving generously to God and his work is an act of worship. The Bible also tells us this, that generous giving is to be a priority. It's to be a priority to us. And there are a number of places we would see this in Scripture. One very clear and concise one is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, where the Word of God says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." So this is conditional, right? "Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine." You get the idea here. If we do this, then that is the idea. And we see this throughout the Proverbs. If we honor the Lord with our wealth and the first fruits of all of our produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. But what's the key here? Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Maybe not something that we talk a lot about or are familiar with, but since it's not necessarily a familiar term or something we use all the time today, God wants you and I to give from the resources he's entrusted to us, that which is first and best. First and best because it honors him. Brothers and sisters, in a very practical sense, this is why we should give to God as soon as possible after we get paid. Not after everything else that we have to pay. That we honor him with the first fruits. You go, man, that can be scary, can't it? Yeah, it can. And if it wasn't God giving these promises, I promise you I wouldn't be preaching this message. My goal is not to get deeper into your wallet. It's to share what God says about giving and generosity toward him and let the Spirit of God be at work in your life. I tell you what, learning how to give generously toward God is like, I mean, I joke with the kids sometimes, put on your big boy pants, I'll say. It's growing up time. Taking that step to begin really trusting God in your life, to give generously toward Him in a way that reflects you believe these things are true, is a sign of maturity and says something about your faith and whether or not you truly trust and believe what God says. This is difficult stuff, man. This is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. When we don't do that, when we don't give to Him of our first fruits, what's happening? God gets the leftovers, right? Let's be honest. That's what happens. If everything else goes to other places first, God gets whatever's left over, if there's anything left over. And we all know there's something wrong with that, right? God shouldn't get our leftovers. I was in the church for years and never got this. I can remember the offering plate being passed by, and hey, if I had something in my wallet to drop in and could do it, I'd do that. It was never a priority to me. It was never of the first fruits of what I would give in. Basically, God got a tip if I had something on me on that Sunday. Never forget this, and I've said this to you before, and I mean this. One of the greatest lies you could ever believe as it relates to this concept of giving and being generous towards God is this. One day when I have more, then I'll what? Then I'll give more. And that is not true. Some of the most generous people in this church and in God's church throughout the world are not necessarily the people that have the most. And sometimes folks that have more have an inclination to want more. And in order to have more, you don't want to cut loose with what you have, right? Don't think, oh, when I have more, then I'll give more. Think, how can I be generous toward God now with what I have and what He's entrusted to me? The truth is that day's never going to come when you have more, because more just keeps moving farther and farther out. Generosity is an attitude of our heart. Talked about that in the first week, and that's why Jesus could say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why people simply don't become more generous because they have more. They actually tend to do quite the opposite. The more they have, the less they might be inclined to give, or the more they extend themselves, so the less that's available and that sort of thing. But child of God, don't forget, as you give generously to God, and I mean this with all my heart, God has ways. God has ways of making sure that you are taken care of. He takes care of His people. And I've seen this happen. I've experienced it personally for decades, time and time again. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God, so why not be generous toward God? Why not sow sparingly and by the grace of God reap so bountifully? By the grace of God reap bountifully. See, if we really understood how God worked when we give generously to Him, we'd follow the advice of a pastor who once told his congregation to give according to their income, lest God make their income according to their giving. You might think, but Pastor Ron, I don't understand. I just don't have much to give. Giving generously is okay for folks who are wealthy, but not for me. And I just want to encourage us all to think about this for a moment, how we even think about wealth in general. I think there's a total misconception out there about this. Did you know that more than half the people in the world today make approximately $3 a day? More than half the people in the world today make approximately $3 a day, and more than 80% of the world's population lives on less than a $10 bill per day. So who are the wealthy people? We're always good to point out who the wealthy folks are, but do we ever think if 80% of the people in the world make $10 or less a day, man, I make quite a bit more than that. So that must mean I'm in at the very least that 20% that makes more than 80% of the people in the world. See, we're always inclined to think that the wealthy person is someone else. No matter where you go along the line, if somebody makes $1 million, the wealthy person is someone who makes $2 million. Or if you make two, then it's 10. And it just keeps going and going and going. But God's called each of us to be generous toward him with what he's entrusted to us. We do this all the time. We do it with just thinking about sin in general. When we talk to people who don't know the Lord, we talk about sin, and maybe this was us before we came to know Jesus, and you think, hey, I'm a pretty good person compared to, and then we find somebody who sins worse than us in our mind, right? Same idea here. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2, Paul takes an offering for believers in Jerusalem who were experiencing hard times. There was a famine, and I want you to pay careful attention to what he wrote. He said, "Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also are to do." And then he says, "On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." It was to be planned. It was to be a priority. It was to be the first day of the week. You see, to the Apostle Paul, giving to God and his work needs to be a priority. And that happened as the early church assembled on the first day of the week, Sunday. And it was to happen regularly on an ongoing basis. Does God get from you what you just happen to have on you, like he used to get from me when I come to church? Or do you make giving to him and his work a priority? Each time I speak on giving and stewardship, I say this, and each time I've had someone say, "I'm so glad you said that to me because I never thought about it." But I want to ask you this. If you give on the weeks that you're here, do you not give on the weeks that you're not here? Do you get what I'm saying? If that's when God gets something and you're not in, he doesn't get something unless you're in church. Or have you made it a priority to say, "I'm going to be sure that I'm giving whether I'm here or not"? For churches, summertime hits, and guess what happens? Often, it's a very common thing. Many of us are blessed. We go on vacation and stuff. Well, if you're one of the folks who only gives if you're here and you're gone more in the summer, guess what happens to the church's finances, or as a normal thing to happen in the giving? In the summer, giving goes down. But could you say it's a priority to me that even if I'm going to be away, I'm going to be sure that I give? I think that's something that really honors God. Some of you will have heard me share this story before, and I'm going to share it again because I think it's funny and I really like it. A family sat down to the dinner table and started talking about the church service. The son started off by saying, "The sermon was boring today, Dad." The sister chimed in, "Boy, you sure are right. The pastor stumbled over the scripture." The mother jumped in and said, "Yeah, and the choir, Lord have mercy. They were pitiful. They weren't in tune at all." Finally, the dad got involved and said, "You know, you guys really ought to hush. What do you expect for a dollar?" It's easy to laugh and have fun with something like that, right? But when it comes to the act of giving, is being generous toward God something that's truly a priority to you? And is it something that you do regularly? Or have you been in the habit of tipping God when you've got a little something extra on you? I just want to encourage you that you can't outgive God. And anything that's invested in Him and in His work is an investment that's going to yield eternal rewards. Trust Him. Trust Him and ask, is what I'm doing generous? Is it sacrificial? Is it intentional? Is it a priority to me? And we're going to continue to look at a little bit more of this next week. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer, and then we'll have our time of announcements. Father God, we love You, and we thank You for how You speak to us in Your word. God, everything that we need to hear, You say to us, Lord. And Father, we are all still learning to put into practice faithfully what You have said and what You've called us to do. We're still challenged, even though we know that You're worthy of all of our trust. Still hard to trust sometimes. God, I pray that You'd help us to think clearly and biblically about how we are stewards of the resources that You've entrusted to us. And God, I pray that You would pour out Your blessing upon Your people and those who so bountifully, God, bless and be at work in their life to provide and meet their needs as only You can. We love You, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.